All right, you guys. So we're talking about what do you want for Christmas, and we're talking about these different prayers. And I'm excited about all the stuff that went before. Just so I can get into it, I'm going to go straight with a question for you this morning. Is Jesus your Lord and Savior? And maybe you say yes. Maybe you've understood, I prayed and I made Jesus my Lord and my Savior. Let me say this. That means you've recognized that he's your Lord and your Savior. He already is Lord. And he already is Savior. But if he is, then what does that mean? What does it mean for Jesus to be your Lord and your Savior? Do you recognize that he actually calls the shots? I want to say this morning, as we get into some prayers, some hopes, some dreams of some people that waited a long time to see Jesus, that you would know that when you said he's your Lord and your Savior, when you recognize that, when you asked him to be that, even though he's the one that showed you needed that first, that you're actually asking for more than you even can imagine. Let's go to Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now to him who's able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask of or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I love this. More than we can ask. And we can ask, right? You might remember the story of this little boy that had this sister born. And his mom looks over at him and says, "Sweetheart, aren't you excited? Look, God blessed us with a baby girl." "Yeah, but I asked for a puppy." He got more than he asked for. He wanted a puppy. He got a little sister who was going to follow him around like a puppy, right? We ask God for things, and many times we ask him for really good things, but we're actually asking often more than we can even imagine. We're asking for so much, and God's got so much more for us. And with that, and just to honor the time, I want to go right to Luke 2. I'm going to read most of Luke 2 today. We're going to look at this wonderful story, and I can summarize it, and then I'm going to read it. But we can recognize Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We want his rule, and we want his reign in our life. And when we want that, we want what's good. But we're actually going to get far more of what we want and need than we could even imagine. And he's going to give you and I opportunities to trust him over and over again. The Savior came through a very young, very poor virgin from an oft-forgotten area. It was a maligned part of Israel, like we talked about last week. And he was fulfilling prophecies left and right, some that he couldn't have fulfilled unless he was God himself. Like where he's going to be born. He was born in a manger. This one-time-only event was broadcasted, not to all of Israel, but to a bunch of shepherds, culturally insignificant people, in the little town of Bethlehem, which was the hometown of the second greatest shepherd king Israel would ever have. When I say second, it's because David was that shepherd king. Jesus is the number one shepherd king. And it was at night, no less. Angelic proclamation, just going for it. Hey, you guys, good news, great joy. Not just for you or you or you or maybe Israel or maybe even some of the bordering countries, but for all people. This was proclaimed good news for everybody, not just for the people you and I would like or think need him. Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill among men, on whom he's pleased. This is God's choice, the ultimate dealer's choice. I dealt you life and I'm choosing you. I want you. And so with that, look for these opportunities. Look for this preparation of your heart. Look for the joy as we're going to be looking at an Advent if you're reading along with us. Luke 2, 1 through 7. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered, his entire empire. God was using a pagan king to get things moving. This is the first registration with Quirinius, was governor of Syria. These are all historical people, because this is a real story. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. I would say something really cool that I just found out this morning. Way back in this time, these shepherds actually that we're about to read about would be actually caring for and preparing sheep, lambs that would be sacrificed. I knew that part. What I didn't know is to help keep them from blemish, they would wrap them in cloth. They'd wrap the little lambs to keep them clean. I mean, obviously, ultimately, they had to get up and move around. But to begin with, they're keeping them safe. Verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." You should understand that this peace isn't just an absence of trial and pain and agony. It's where man could be restored in relationship to God. Romans 5 tells us that there is this holiness and this righteousness that cannot be found apart from Jesus Christ, but in him we've been given and we can have oneness with God. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Wow, we shouldn't have ate that." No, that's not what they said. "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that was told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered. They were all amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. I know that a lot of people's favorite Christmas song is "Mary, Did You Know?" Luke 1 and 2 would tell you she absolutely knew. She didn't know all, but she knew. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. So let's learn a couple lessons from some shepherds here, okay? Real quick. Hear the good news. Come to Jesus. Share the good news by glorifying and praising God. Look, it's easy for us in this time, in this day, in this age, no matter what you might have going on, even if it's at a time, like Josh is saying, as a church, I praise God, we are not in a spot where financially we're so struggling. But there are a lot of people that are. But glorify him and praise him. Friends, I love this, right? Hear the good news. The good news is for how many people? Is everybody going to receive it? So we should probably just keep it to ourselves then. No, you don't know who's going to receive it. I don't care how reformed or not you are. You share the good news. People want it or they don't. Keep sharing it. Keep glorifying and praising God. I'm going to jump really quick to how Jesus, as a baby, was fulfilling the law of God. Luke 2:21 says, "And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus." Remember that means Yahweh saves, Yahweh rescues. His name was Yahweh saves. He is Yahweh in the flesh and he saves. And he also was a little baby boy and he was being circumcised, just like the law said he was supposed to be, on the eighth day. I love this too, by the way, the name that was given to him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Gabriel named two babies, John and Jesus. That's pretty cool. Now, when the time came for their purification, if you want to learn more about that, go to Leviticus 12. But when the time came for their purification, which would have been a whole 33 days after he was circumcised, so 41 days after he was born, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. How about verse 24? And to offer a sacrifice according to what it is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two pigeons. Let me tell you about this really quick. Jesus was fulfilling this law that his family actually was doing for him. They were pointing him to Jesus. We have kids here today. Point them to Jesus. Live for Jesus in front of them. Honor the Lord. Honor the law. Honor the love of God so they see it. They will have to choose. Jesus chose over and over again, but he actually came to fulfill this. And something really powerful that I'd love to spend a lot more time on, but in Leviticus, we understand that there's supposed to be this offering for a male child, the first male child. They're supposed to be given over to the Lord. And if to buy them back, there was a lamb that was to be sacrificed. Now, if the family was too poor and they couldn't afford a lamb, you got two turtle doves, like it says in the 12 days of Christmas, right? Two pigeons. If you pow, you can have these two little birds. Jesus was poor. His family was poor. They couldn't afford a lamb, and yet Jesus was the lamb. How wonderful is that? We can't afford a lamb, but we're raising him. We can't afford a lamb, but he is the lamb. You think you can't afford to honor God? You can't afford to serve him? He's paid the price so you can. He's paid the price. And so I'm going to jump into Luke 2:25-32, and we're going to look at Simeon, and it's going to be really quick. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. Consolation of Israel, by the way, is the Savior. He's waiting for the Messiah. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. That's the Messiah. That's Jesus. And he came in the Spirit, like three different times we hear that this dude is filled with the Spirit, in the Spirit. God told him something. Now he's still in the Spirit. He actually loves God and wants to hear from him. And does. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, this is all how it worked out, right? God is flipping all these switches, getting this to work out. When he came in there and he saw the child, he took him up in his arms. Come on. Jesus's mom and dad are bringing him to commit him to the Lord. And this man comes up and grabs the child. And he blesses God, and he says, "Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace." He's like, "I can die now. According to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence for all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed, given, right? There's purpose for this child, for the fall and rising of many in Israel. That, I don't even have time to totally unpack, but some would fall away from God, and some would rise up in God, and some would be the same. They'd fall apart and think that this whole Messiah thing, that's not how we do it, but then they come to their senses and they come back. It'll also be a sign that's opposed. He will be a sign that's opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Look, he told his mama, you're going to have a hard time with this. And we know that just literally at the end of 2, which we're not going to read today, at the end of 2, she didn't quite understand what her son was doing. When he was 12, he went and he became son of the law. He was in the temple like he was supposed to be, but it was more than just the bar mitzvah. You know what it was? It was God's son being in God's house. And his mama didn't get it. She didn't understand him. At one point, she thought he was crazy. At one point, she didn't understand him yet again. And at one point, she was filled with joy when he rose from the dead. Her heart would indeed be pierced. People would not only not want her son, they'd kill him. And that's a powerful thing. And so this preacher, this Dr. Trent C. Butler, said something that I want to invite people, especially online, I want to ask you to consider this. God has provided a Savior, but salvation is not automatic. Just because the Savior comes doesn't mean you're going to be saved. People must believe, trust, and embrace God's Savior and his salvation. His mama wanted everybody to be saved, and not everybody would. This brother in Christ wants everybody to be saved, and not everybody would. But if you're hearing it today, he's inviting you today. He wants you today. Well, what about all the stuff I did? Covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why he came. That's why he came. Warren Wiersbe says it like this. Like Simeon, how important it is for people to see God's salvation, Jesus Christ, before they see death. He's like, I can die now. I've seen your salvation. He was still a baby. He didn't take, nothing changed in the world at that time, and yet everything did. Can you have faith? Can you trust in this? Look, we'll continue on. We're going to learn from another older person who waited her whole life for this. Verse 36, there was a prophetess. She gets a title, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years. Having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, so she was married for 7 years, and then as a widow until she was 84. Some people think she lived as a widow for 84 years. I don't know. I just know she was advanced in years. She was old. Been a widow for a long time. She did not depart from the temple worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. All in the same day, at that very same hour, this man who'd been waiting for so long was told by the Holy Spirit, you're going to see the Savior of the world. And then this woman who had spent so much of her adult life, almost all of it as a matter of fact, in the temple, praying and fasting, giving her life to prayer and fasting, worshiping God. And she gets to see him. And instead of making this big speech to Jesus or to her parent or his parents, you know what she does? She goes and tells everybody who wants to hear about it. And I don't think she'd come up, hey, Thor, do you want to hear about this? Hey, Casey, what do you think? I think she just went and told it. She was overflowing now. The overflow of her heart, her mouth spoke. And so what can we learn from Anna? Living on prayer. How many of you live on prayer? I know that some of you are thinking Bon Jovi right now. Don't. Let it go. Let it go. Be thankful to God. Speak of Jesus to all people. I want to end with not the end of two, but just a couple of verses. And when they performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee. We know that before they actually returned to Galilee, they went to Egypt. That's found in Matthew. But all this big stuff happens. It's all amazing. You're the savior of the world. Everybody needs to know about you. Wonderful. Oh, yeah. And just go back into anonymity for a while. You know how it is, right? You have these high moments, these wonderful things. God's promised me. He's spoken to me. I was in prayer and God gave me a word. I heard so many good things. I gave my life to the Lord. I had this wonderful mountaintop experience. And now I have to go to the doldrums of everyday life. Yeah, he's still there. He's especially there. Listen, they returned to their own town of Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. When you ask Jesus into your heart, when you confess that he's the Lord and you're not, you're asking for more than you're actually asking for. He gets to call you to holiness. He gets to call you to faithfulness. He gets to call you to joy in the midst of darkness. He gets to call you to everyday life where you actually do what you do, not for a reward. You do what you do because you've been rewarded already with life. And you get to live for him. What a gift. What an awesome gift from God. I want to invite you to go through these questions either right now, take a picture of them, go through them later. Number one, Caesar Augustus made a proclamation at just the right time. How far does God direct the thoughts and actions of all leaders? Check out Proverbs 21:1 for that. Number two, when you ask Jesus for forgiveness and for him to lead your life, how far are you willing to let him lead you? Is there a limit? Are there any adjustments that need to be made to live more for him? If so, please share what these are. Write them down. Share them with somebody. Number three, how much do prayer and patience play a role in following God in your life, like Simeon, like Anna? What can you practically learn from them about these two disciplines of prayer and patience? And finally, who are some people you can pray for and then share the good news of Jesus with this? Share this with this week. What? Share the good news of Jesus this week. Please make a list and then pray for them. And pray for the strength to share with them. Look, we got the good news. We got the greatest gift ever. Share it. Let's pray. Father, I don't want to keep you to myself. I want people to know you. I want people to believe you. And I want to be patient while they are out doing their thing. I want to be a kind of man. I want my family to be the kind of people. I want my friends and my family in Christ to be the kind of people who trust you and believe you and share you. That we hear the good news like the shepherds. And we come to Christ. And then we praise you and we share your good news. That we'd be like Simeon and that we would be the kind of people that wait and want and believe in you. And we live to see the Messiah and we make him known. And like Anna, may we be the kind of people who praise you and thank you and share you with all people. God, you're worthy. I love you and I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Be strong and courageous. Let it be contagious. That means go tell people. Live it out. See ya.